Hey, welcome to the Keep Moving Forward podcast with Tom O'Leary. I am so grateful for you. Thanks for interacting. Thanks for giving suggestions for future podcast topics. Thanks for passing the messages on to other people. People in your network, sphere of influence, your peeps, your people, your Bible study people, church friends, people you work with, people in your family, people in your neighborhood, people that you go to the gym with or whatever. You know, if you know of someone that can benefit from these messages, and typically the title in the podcast really sets the theme, and you know what we're going to talk about, giving God's truth and really liberating us, empowering us, because the Keep Moving Forward podcast with Tom O'Leary is all about living a life of perseverance. That's what it's about. My second book I wrote, believe it or not, is Keep Moving Forward, living, subtitle, Living a Life of Perseverance. Ah, Tom, how did you figure out how to name your podcast? Well, yes, I stole from myself, from my second book. And, you know, it's about facing obstacles in life. And in the book, I take a look at different people, men and women in the Bible, and the obstacles they had to face, the frustrations, the unmet expectations, the challenges. And I tell you what, every person spoke about in God's Word, in the Bible, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, from Genesis to Revelation, you will find they had problems. Some of them self-made, some afflicted by others. They just all had challenges. Isn't it interesting that in God's Word, He would let us know on the front end, you know, you're going to have challenges. And Jesus warned us. He said, you're going to have trials and tribulations this side of eternity. Now, you got to remember, one day in heaven, it'll be perfect. Perfect place, no more tears, no more pain, no more death. God promises that and in His Word. And so you get a new body, yay! And, you know, it's just a perfect place. But here on earth, we do have our challenges. Have you ever found yourself in a situation that you were not prepared for? Back when I was a senior in high school, going way, 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 way back, it's out of here. I was playing on the baseball team in the spring, getting closer and closer to high school graduation and going off to college and all that. But the track coach was down some runners and participants and team members. And so he asked the baseball coach, could I ask some of your guys if they would just run in this one track meet? So I thought, yeah, why not? I used to do it in junior high and thought, why not? I love sports. So I sign up and the coach says, okay, I'm going to have you, O'Leary, run the 330 hurdles. And I'm like, what's the 330 hurdles, coach? You know, I hadn't matured my voice yet, so that's how it sounded. And he says, oh, it's really easy. You know, there's a hurdle every, you know, so many yards, and you just jump over it. And gosh, it's only three quarters of a lap. It's not even a full lap. And I'm like, oh, man, I got this. So I'm all pumped. I'm at the track meet. I'm about ready to do the 330 hurdles. The gun goes off. And I am blasting out in first place. I mean, I don't even see any of the other runners. I'm the first one to the first hurdle. And I jump over that hurdle. And I go to the next one. And I jump over the second one. And I'm getting to the third one. And I am running out of steam. I mean, it wasn't pretty. And I get to the last hurdle. And I'm like crawling under it or over it. Or one of the... I came in dead last. And so, you know, in life, it's not about how you start. It's about how you finish. And I wish, well, I learned a great lesson that day from the 330 hurdle. So any of us can find ourselves in a place where, what is happening? What is going on? How did I get here? I'm not familiar with this. I feel out of sorts. And that leads us into today's podcast and our title. Oh, you're going to love this title. Well, you've probably already read it and you're going, what does that mean? The Hazies, the Lazies, and the Crazies. Tom, I know what you're saying right now. Tom, what are you talking about? What does that mean? Is the Hazies, Lazies, and Crazies in God's Word? Well, actually, it is. They are. So let me tell you, the Hazies are the confusing times of life. The Lazies is when you just get lazy in life and careless and, you know, you're just kind of going through the motions. You're just not giving your best in life. So that's the Lazies. So we got the Hazies, confusing time. Lazies, not giving your best and just floating. And then the Crazies is when life is stressful, when it is just crazy. Let me give you a scripture to kick us off, to kind of set the tone, if you will. Okay, there's this little passage in the New Testament out of 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, and it says, we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. We take captive every thought. Any thought that goes flying through your mind, and we've talked about the famous quote from Charles Spurgeon, who is a famous preacher century ago, you know, in the 1800s, I believe. And he said, I can't control crows flying over my head, but I'm not going to let them nest in my hair. And actually, I think it was the 19th century. Sorry about that. The 1800s. But let me say it again. He said, I can't control crows flying over my head, but I don't need to allow them, let them nest in my hair. And what he was alluding to is the crazy thoughts like crows flying over your head, thoughts that zip through your mind. I have them. You have them. We all have them. They might be thoughts of anger. They might be thoughts of resentment. They might be thoughts of bitterness. They might be thoughts of lust. They might be thoughts of greed. They might be thoughts of arrogance. They might be thoughts of entitlement. Well, you know, I work so hard. I deserve to kind of cut loose a little, you know, whatever those crazy thoughts. We all have them, right? And yet, according to Spurgeon, we can't really control those thoughts zipping through our mind, but we don't have to let them land in our mind and we rehearse them over and over again like a bird nesting in your hair. So, with the Hazies and the Lazies and the Crazies, one powerful thing is to remember we can take captive every thought because our thoughts are going to lead to the Hazies and the Lazies and the Crazies, or they're going to keep us prisoner. And this passage by Apostle Paul, when he penned it to the church in Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, is saying, no, you take control. My buddy, prayer partner, and accountability partner, we were talking about this the other day, and he is so full of wisdom, and he was sharing with me, like, there are things in our life that are controllable. Now, there are some things that are uncontrollable that you just can't, make happen or avoid, I should say. They're just uncontrollable things that could happen in life. But there are so many things controllable in life that we need to just walk the line and vow to and go, no, I have control over that. And by God's grace and the Holy Spirit's power and Christ in me, I am going to walk under that godly authority and keep those things that are controllable in check and in God's will. So we can take captive every thought. And I mean, you just take control of every thought. And then I love how it says, make it obedient to Christ. Woo! I mean, that's getting real. Like, you know, you're laying it before the Lord going, hey, what about this thought? Bad one. Get it out of there. Shoo out that crow. No, you're not making the nest in my head. I'll tell you that much. And that's how we got to be. Okay, so that sets the tone. Okay, so I only got three for you today. We're going to focus on the hazies, the lazies, and the crazies. But I've got scriptures that are going to help us with this. Okay, so let's dive in. Number one, the hazies, the confusing times in life. Well, what does God's word say? 1 Corinthians, we just were in 2 Corinthians, so we'll back it up. Beep, 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 beep. We're backing it up to 1 Corinthians. That was my backup noise like a truck does. Anyway, 1 Corinthians 14:33 says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace." I love that. You know, what do you think of as an author? Well, I've written a couple books, so I kind of, it resonates with me. I have a bachelor's degree in journalism, so it resonates with me. I've got a master's degree in theology, so it resonates with me. That an author writes, an author communicates, an author tells a story. Like, think of God's word, the Bible. And if you approach it as a history book, you get history. And if you approach it as a book of literature, what do you get? You get literature. And if you approach it as a book of fables, what do you get? Myths and fables. And if you approach it, God's word, the Bible, as poetry, what do you get? You get some great poetry. But if you approach it as the living word of God, God's love letter to you, what do you get? You get the power of God's living word and his love letter written just to you, just for you, for each of you, for all of us. That's what you get. I always like to say, you get what you get. However you approach it, you get what you get. And so God says, hey, I'm not the author of confusion. The hazies. If you're in a haze, then you got to pull out of it. Because I didn't subscribe that. I didn't write that. I didn't want you to be in that place. And I love how it says the opposite. No, I'm the God of peace. And so God wants you to experience incredible peace. So how do we get into the hazies where life is just confusing? Well, there's four negative voices in your life and in mine. The Bible's crystal clear about it. Number one, voices. These voices is the devil. That's number one. You know, you can read in Ephesians about spiritual warfare and how throughout Scripture, there is an enemy to your soul. And so you have these negative voices. Again, we talked about it, like zip through your mind. And you think to yourself, where in the world did that come from? So that voice could be what the Bible calls the devil, a fallen angel, Satan. The second negative voice is the message of the world. And be greedy, be arrogant, you deserve it all. Be lustful, be prideful, fight and scratch and kick to the top, you know, all of that foolishness, right? But it's a voice, and you see it everywhere, and especially social media. Now you know you got to look like this, you got to be like this. You got, you know, look at our vacation. Isn't it so much better than yours? And look at this great life I have. And you know that's all gloss, right? It's just gloss. It's just a veneer. It's just nothing, you know. But it's the world's message. And then there's the third negative voice is broken people and an angry parent you had, a misguided teacher, a gruff coach that yelled and screamed at you and said negative things. You might right now have like a boss or a coworker that is just driving you crazy and it's not good. And so we've got these four negative voices, the devil, number one, the world, number two, Broken people, number three. And guess what number four is? I bet you guessed it. You! You and me. Our own negative self-talk. And I'm telling you, I am at fault at this. There are times where I'm like, oh, you idiot. And then I have to stop myself and say, Tom, does Jesus call you an idiot? No. Jesus calls me a friend. Jesus calls me a child of God. Jesus calls me holy and righteous, not by anything I've done, but what he did, the finished work on the cross and the resurrection that we just recently celebrated at Easter. And, you know, he conquered everything. And so you and I have to step into that and go, no, we're not doing that anymore. No more self-negative talk. And that's going to help you pull out of the hazies. See, I'm reminded of what God's word says about the enemy and about our part. Because 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. So our part, get your mind alert. Make sure your mind is sober. Make sure that you aren't doing things, whatever, drugs, alcohol, that are going to make your mind hazy. Or, you know, sober-minded, it ties into being alert. Make sure you don't get sloppy, right? And careless. And just never, never, ever, ever, ever get to the point where you say, you know, I just don't care anymore. There was a season in my life where I did that and it cost me big time. You know, I just don't care anymore. All the hurt, all the pain, all the wrongs done to me or the wrongs done to my loved ones and not dealing with my pain well, and it kept me in the hazies. And see, that's what the enemy preys on. You, it says here in 1 Peter 5:8, your enemy. Guess what? I hate to break the news. You have an enemy. And then goes on, old Pete says, 1 Peter 5:8, Pete says, the devil prowls around like a lion looking to devour you. I mean, that's not like nipping at your heels. That means like eating your flesh and taking you out. And so we have to be alert and sober-minded. That gets us out of the hazies. Now, when I was playing college football at Cal Poly, San Luis Obispo Mustangs, yeah, you got to say it just like that. And we were doing spring football, and this nasty, mean linebacker just cleaned my clock. He hit me so hard, I literally did a 360, and he hit me helmet to helmet. And back in those days, they didn't have like concussion protocol. Well, I go flying in this 360, I hit the ground, and I literally am in a haze where I don't know where I'm at. And in my thought process, I look down and I say to myself, as my bell is rung like never before in my life, I look down and go, oh, I have football pads on. Huh. I wonder where I'm at. That this is gospel truth. This is how it was going down. I look up. And at Cal Poly, there's this tower with a clock. And I look up and I'm like, oh, that's a clock. That's a tower. I think that's at Cal Poly. Okay, I must be at Cal Poly. So I've got football pads on and I'm at Cal Poly. This is all processing in my mind. And then I think, okay, I'm playing football at Cal Poly. Then I look over and I see some guys kneeling on the sideline. So I just get up and run over and kneel next to them again. And they're looking at me and they see in my eyes that I am out of it. I am in the hazy of hazies physically. And they start even chuckling because they know that my bell was so rung. And, you know, and those were in the days where the coaches were like, you know, there'd be a lineman that, you know, fell to the ground and he's holding his knee and he's yelling, and the coach would say, just rub a little dirt on it, son. Just rub a little dirt on it. Get back in there. It was the 80s. Okay. I don't think that happens anymore because we give a trophy to everybody. But anyway, that's another subject. And so my whole illustration here is I was in a physical haze. But you know what? We can be in a spiritual haze. And we can be saying to ourselves, where am I at? How did I get here? I don't know. I would have never thought I would have gotten here spiritually. My mind is cloudy. It's confusing. I'm trying to, you know, make it all make sense, sort it out. And so what we have to do is go to God, invite His presence, look into His Word, memorize a passage over and over again. And in this case, that, you know, He's the God of peace. He's the God of peace. 1 Corinthians 14:33. I'm going to be alert and sober-minded. 1 Peter 5:8. And that's going to pull us out of the hazies. Okay, moving along. Number two, the lazies. It's a time in your life when you're not giving your best. Proverbs 10, verse 4 says, lazy hands make for poverty, but diligent hands bring wealth. That's really interesting. Proverbs are general principles. They're not to be taken as like, this is the way it goes. It's more of observing. It's called the Book of Wisdom. So we can so learn from it because it's loaded with wisdom. And so it's saying, hey, if you get lazy, it's going to lead to bad things. It's going to rip you off. It says poverty. And, you know, guess what? When you work really hard, there's rewards. And I'm not saying be a workaholic and you need to pull back if you are and have healthy boundaries and pace yourself and all of that. But you know what I'm talking about. You know, the lazy person versus the diligent person. That's just a great character quality, right? Diligent. And, you know, we want to step in and be the diligent person, which has a reward. That leads me to Colossians 3, verse 23. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for people. I love that, Colossians 3, verse 23. It's saying, hey, you're the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker, whatever you are. If you're making candles, well, by golly, do it with all your heart and work like you're working for the Lord, like He's your boss, not for people. So that's why you would shine at where you work at. Or if you're retired, like things that you are passionate about and things you like to do and groups that maybe you're a part of. Or if you're in a job, a career, or you're just starting out and, you know, you're trying to figure out what you're going to set your hand to. The bottom line is you're doing it for God, not for people. So if you have that grumpy boss, you're going to be diligent and you're going to give your best because you're not doing it for Him. You're doing it for the Lord. And He's the one that sees it all, and He's the one that will reward you. So if you find yourself in that laziness, you got to decide, no, I'm going to give my best. You know, I'll never forget when I was in my senior year, back to my senior year, high school baseball, decades ago, back to the 80s. Oh, weren't the 80s great? Anyway, and we're playing this baseball team. We were clearly the favorite, and I had hit a single, and I'm on first base, and the coach gives me the signal to steal to second base. And I just was so overly confident that I got lazy. And I thought, there is no way that catcher can throw me out. And I used to love to steal bases, and I was pretty quick. And I love to do a head dive, like the old Pete Rose, if you know baseball, used to do, and slide head first. And it was so great. But for whatever reason, in that moment, I decided to get lazy. And I decided, I'm not going to slide. I'm just going to outrun the guy from first to second. And I go running to second base, and I don't slide, and I'm literally standing upright. And he throws me out, and the shortstop catches the ball and tags me, and I'm out. And that was the third out of the inning. And I've, you know, got my head hanging down, and I'm embarrassed. And I'm walking over to the dugout, and the coach goes, why didn't you slide? And I thought, well, I got lazy. I thought I could outrun him. Isn't that so hilarious? Like, I'm so fast, I got lazy. You know, dumb. A lesson learned. So let's be diligent. Okay, we got to get to the last one. Number three, we've had the hazies, the lazies, and now the crazies. The crazies is when life is stressful. Now, here's the thing. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 gives you a beautiful invitation. It says, give all your worries. Some translations uses anxiety, all your anxiety, or anxious thoughts, or worries, and cares to God. Give all your worries and cares to God, for He cares about you. So it says, all your worries, all your anxiety, all your anxious thoughts, all your stress, your cares, the burdens, the things that you're carrying, all. And guess what? I looked up the New Testament Greek for the word all, and guess what all means? Yeah, you guessed it. All. Every one of them. All. Why? Because this scripture gives you the why answer. Sometimes we go, well, why would I do that? Or why? You know, we always ask the why question. Well, it answers it. Because God cares for you. He loves you. He cares for you. And that leads me to our final passage that is so empowering. And it really does talk about the hazies and the lazies and the crazies. So I'm going to end here on Philippians 3, verse 12 through 14. Apostle Paul pens, not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Verse 13, Philippians 3, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. It's the whole understanding that I'm forgetting what is behind. So the wrongs we've done, the wrongs done to us. If you find yourself in the hazies, confusing time, you know what? You got to forget about the past and you press on, straining forward, pressing on toward the goal, moving toward your purpose, what God has for you, the reason why Jesus Christ took a hold of you. That's what Apostle Paul, and I love it. He's so honest. He says, I haven't arrived. I haven't obtained it yet. I haven't hit my goal yet. But, and this is one of the big buts in the Bible. Did you know the Bible has a lot of big buts? It's true. And it says right here in Philippians 3:13, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal. And that is what's going to get us out of the hazies and the lazies and the crazies. So we covered a lot of ground, a lot of just precious, what I'd like to say, you know, gold nuggets out of God's word, you know, things that we dug deep and we pulled them out and we can apply it to our lives. So again, if you're in a confusing time, go with the peace of God. Reject those negative voices. We're recapping here. And that was number one, the hazy. Number two, the lazies. Not when you find yourself not giving your best in life and you find yourself whispering under your breath, I don't care anymore. I just don't. That is such a dangerous place to be. And I urge you, don't go there. Don't go there. Pull out of the lazies and remember that character quality. Let's be diligent. Let's be the diligent one. Not out of control workaholic, just diligent, just faithful, you know, doing your best. And you know, the old saying is so true. Do your best and God takes care of the rest. That's so true. And then finally, the crazies, those stressful times, we've got to just cast all our worries, all our cares on God. He cares for you. He loves you. He loves you so much. And we forget what is behind and we press toward what is ahead. Let me pray for you. Father in heaven, thank you for each person that is listening to this Keep Moving Forward podcast. And God, we've covered what you have to say about confusing times in our life, lazy times in our life, and even stressful times in our life. And so, Lord, we give it all to you. And we invite you to just shape us and move in us and help us to be at that living our best life now. That's where we want to be. So, Holy Spirit, fill and empower each person listening. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you so much for listening. Thanks if you can pass this podcast on to somebody. You can always send them to the website, tomoleary.org, T-H-O-M-O-L-E-A-R-Y.org. Or you can get all the podcasts for free on your podcast app. Just look up Keep Moving Forward with Tom O'Leary on your podcast app. That's another way. If you're able to donate today, that is such a blessing. If you are donating, you know who you are. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It keeps it going and growing. And so thank you from the bottom of my heart. If you're able to donate, you can go to the TomOLeary.org website and hit the donate give button. And I'm just so grateful. I thank you ahead of time. So never forget, never, ever, ever, never, ever. God loves you. He loves you. He loves you. And I'm for you. God bless.